Studio 65 of the Sens Underground Network. This is episode number 28 of the Sens Call-Ups for Friday, July 5th, 2013. I'm Cardinal, and Pan Canuck and I are back to talk about a day that no Sens fan ever expected to happen. Daniel Alfredson is a Centurion no more, and is now a winged wheel. The SU forums at sensunderground.com have been busy today. You can email your thoughts to us at podcast@senscallups.com for our upcoming summer episode, and you can follow and interact with us on Twitter. It's been pretty busy today. Boys, I'm not going to ask you how you are, because I'm guessing you're pretty much how I'm feeling today. Canuck, welcome back to the city.
Yeah, thanks.
Will you stay home for once, Canuck?
Yes, I was following this news today from Halifax.
Well, before we get into that, I have one very important question that will affect how this show goes. So I need you guys to answer it. Well, we can get into that one in a second, but it's more immediate than that. It's more immediate than that. And the question is, in my cooler to my left, I have three choices, and you have to make the choice for me. 50, Newcastle Brown, or Sleeman's original draft?
Detroit.
Okay, Canuck, you can make it for me then.
50.
Thank you. As you were.
Where do you start?
Yeah, I guess we're a little rusty at this, eh?
A little rusty. We just...
Yeah,
I think if we were recording about 8 hours ago, we would have been yelling at the microphones.
Oh. Yeah, my day was shot. Just shot. Because I deal with clients. My 12 o'clock didn't come in, which was probably better for Hammond because he probably would have just gotten punched in the face.
That's not a good business practice.
These things don't happen very often, right? And then my 1 o'clock, I really didn't care. My 2 o'clock, I pretty much just yelled at them. And it was awful. I canceled one appointment. It's like, I just can't deal with this right now. I'll figure it out and get back to you.
Customer service.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
No, you don't need this mortgage.
No.
Well, you don't need this product. You don't need this piece of software.
Just get out of here. Yeah. Or whatever it is that I deal in.
vacuum cleaner salesman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it sucks.
Anyway. It sucks.
It does it ever.
Yeah, today has been pretty much ruined. I'm actually probably going to, I'd say that my next few days have been ruined. So I'm looking, I fortunately can say that the saving grace for at least part of this will be the fact that I get to go fishing again soon. So I know I talk about that a lot, but it's very good for the soul. So I don't know about you. I guess because Canuck, you were traveling and Pan, you were working in a work environment all day. I work at home, so I can pretty much have whatever sound I want around me when I work. And I had the team 1200 on all day, or TSN or whatever, just news source after news source. And I listened to all the press conferences, the one for Detroit, and I listened to the one for Brian Murray. And Brian Murray was on the radio after that again. And I have to say that I think after listening to all of this, there's a piece of this puzzle that is not in the public eye yet.
And that's what stings the most. I do feel we've got a little bit more information, but something has happened in the last 48 hours or less.
It's all about that casino.
Do you think so?
My guess is something to do with Melnick.
Yep.
And the budget the team has.
Okay. I actually have a different take on it, but explore that one first. I want to hear your thoughts behind it. Like, why do you think that are you saying that it's because Melnick isn't willing to spend, like, because there's been a budget set that he's saying, well, this team just can't win with this budget because there's not enough coming in to make it into a contender?
I think that thought must have went through Alfredson's mind. He says he wants to go for a chance to win the cup. I think actually Sens fans would get behind that to a degree. You know, they could accept that, maybe not like it, but okay, but come back with Ottawa, When it becomes a trade deadline time, and it looks pretty clear that Ottawa is just not on a contending path, okay, make your trade then, get something back for the team, pull a Ray Bourque, hopefully, and get your cup.
I didn't even think of that as an option.
But this is, you know, I'm just going to pick the Red Wings. Okay, well, I would love the idea to play with Datsyuk and Zetterberg too. But I don't know. He who knows what goes through his mind. But I'm left with the impression, and I know we hinted at this maybe through text and Twitter and that sort of thing over the past couple of weeks, that he was almost like conditional on him coming back was, well, are you going to spend? Are we going to acquire? Are we going to do what it takes to be a contender? And we knew the answer was no. Melnick's not going to spend right to the cap. So maybe he just got tired of it.
Well, there were a couple of... Oh, sorry, Ben. Your thoughts before I chime in. I do have a bit of a response to that, though, to shed a little bit more light on the question you just asked.
Yeah, it's got to be something between Melnick and Alfredsson.
Okay.
Because it's... I don't know. Go ahead.
There was, in both the main press conference and the subsequent interview on the radio with Brian Murray, he actually said that Alfie knew that the team was very actively courting Clarkson and was in the running for Clarkson and was doing its very best to land him as an additional asset. And that if that fell through, the backup plan was going back to, it was sort of a back pocket plan for Bobby Ryan. And Brian Murray said that he had actually talked to Alfie about this before he went back to Sweden. So he knew that these plans were there. And that the plan was that the big spending would be Alfredsson plus either Clarkson or Ryan. And it ended up being, well, not Alfie, but Ryan being part of it. I mean, that's not necessarily spending. It's more than it was because there's bigger salary coming in, but it's the trade as well.
So that seems to poke a hole in my thought then, doesn't it?
Well, it does a bit. And that's why I was listening to so much of this today.
Yeah.
My theory is different, and it's a little bit more conspiratorial.
Too big of a word.
It's a conspiracy theory.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Go for it.
Who is Alfie's agent?
The same agent as Danny Heatley.
Exactly. The same agent that screwed Brian Murray over with positioning or who was providing the advice to Danny Heatley when Danny Heatley decided he wanted a trade and positioned Danny Heatley to get exactly what he wanted by refusing to do anything but what he wanted. And who's the agent here who Brian Murray tried to contact? He said somewhere between, I think it was 5 to 7 times yesterday and got no answer.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yep.
I didn't hear that either.
And was waiting to hear back and 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 finally got to his cottage yesterday at 8:30 at night and got a phone call from Daniel Alfredsson, which is when Daniel Alfredsson told him, I'm not coming back. I have a whole lot of notes on this, which I'm not going to read out on this podcast, but I'll send them to you and I'll put together a summary of them.
Pause in the forums?
Well, I summarized in the forums, I summarized the Detroit news conference and, I'll try and summarize the other two things. It's going to take a little while to cut it down because I typed a wall of text and it needs some editing for it to make sense, but I will put it in. But there is a lot more information out there than what the 30-second sound bites on TV or radio have been talking about, especially I found Brian Murray to be pretty frank. He can be coy, but he's also frank, which is a bit of a contradiction. But there was a lot of information coming out about the fact that, you know, the negotiations had seemed pretty good until very early, you know, earlier this week when the communication stopped. And it went from, yeah, you know, okay, well, he contacted the agent and the agent wasn't getting back to him and he contacted him again and the agent wasn't getting back to him and then there was no communication at all and then he's gone. And I just see the agent who's in the middle of all this and who has an axe to grind from a previous encounter with Brian Murray. I see it as being a major part of the problem because in the interview,
but why does his agent have an axe to grind with Murray?
Because Murray wasn't doing what Danny Heatley wanted.
Do you really think Alfie cares about that?
No, but I think the agent does. And the agent is the go-between.
But that wasn't Murray. That was, That was Clouston at the time, wasn't it?
No, Clouston was the coach. Murray was the GM.
And what did he want him to do? Trade him.
But well, he wanted to go.
Somewhere where, yeah.
He tried.
Where he wanted to go. No. I didn't want to go to Edmonton. I want more options. You find me more options. I'm not taking that one. I don't know.
We've seen those types of things happen, but you would think that Alfredson would just say, no, just re-up me.
Well, in the article that was on the Detroit Red Wings webpage today, it stated, I don't know if it's still the one there, it may have been modified, but earlier today it stated they didn't have Daniel Alfredson on the map until they were contacted by his agent yesterday afternoon.
Yes.
Yesterday. Wow. Yesterday afternoon, late yesterday afternoon. And it went from, and signed. Well, agreement reached, signed. In what? 18 hours. Again, I'm sorry, it smells.
Especially from when the time that Alfredson said that he was going to come back to.
Exactly.
Because I always thought that it was going to be, okay, well, let's just see who else we can get. This is what our plan is. And then we'll just fit you in.
Exactly.
Unless he was offended by that too.
Well, maybe. I'll have to summarize all the notes I have. I mean, I don't want to drag this out. It'd be about an hour long podcast, just me reading all my notes, but that would be about as exciting as watching paint dry. So. The bottom line is he's not an Ottawa Senator anymore. And how do you feel about that?
I feel like we, as a new era Senators, modern franchise, lost something very special. And I don't mean a player on the ice. I mean this ideal of here's someone we drafted. He was our longest serving captain and he's retiring with the team. We hire, raise his number to the banners and have a big ceremony whenever that time is up. And that's the Ottawa Senators are Daniel Alfredson. You know, like those two names go together. And now that's, it's just not the same now. Sure, he'll always be the longest serving captain for probably for forever or a long time, because that's pretty rare. But it's a different taste now. It's different.
Dan?
The way that I'm looking at it, that I feel right now, especially with the trade that we've put in, I feel decapitated. So there's no... We still have a lot of skill on the team. You know, I'm scared that we lost Zibanejad. And Zibanejad, crap, Dave. Tape Pan. I'm all screwed up today. The fact that we lost Silverberg, Neeson was up and coming. And I honestly think what Anaheim was probably trying to get was Silverberg and Zibanejad.
Oh, probably. Or the other name that was mentioned a lot was Cowan.
Oh, God. No, thank you. But we still have a lot of skill. But we don't have the head to guide things in regards to the leadership.
I think we probably have the leadership. It's just going to be leadership in a different style and coming from different places. But between people like Chris Neal and Chris Phillips and Jason Spezza, and even some of the younger players who've had leadership roles elsewhere, I think we'll be okay. It's just going to be different. I have a different feeling. I actually feel betrayed.
Yeah.
I know he was an unrestricted free agent. He didn't, he had fulfilled his contractual obligations. He's not running away and not fulfilling them. But this town and this organization, I mean, yes, he's been paid for everything he does. I understand that. But this town has put a lot of energy into building Daniel Alfredson into what he is.
Well, would you say betrayed or more abandoned?
No, I feel betrayed. Like, I actually think that he betrayed the trust and the faith that the fans have put into him for being who he is. And in his press conference this afternoon, one of the questions was asked by Ian Mendez. And he said, yeah, this is a selfish move. This is about me. This is, and I know it's selfish and it's going to be seen as selfish and I admit it. This is about me and wanting to win a cup. And I thought this team had a better chance at it than Ottawa does.
He's moving and, his family too.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think that, you know, he's admitting that it's selfish. And if you had asked me 48 hours ago, what is the one word that would least describe Daniel Alfredsson? It's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
He's been the complete antithesis of that.
Well, up until 3 days ago, there was just no questioning that he was going to come back.
Exactly.
Or maybe, let's say a week, just to be safe. But
yeah,
his message was clear. I'm coming back to Ottawa. Let Brian Murray know, I'm coming back.
You know, that's true. He let Brian Murray know, not just come out and say, I'm coming back
to the league,
looking to win.
Yeah.
Because if he would have come out and said that, I probably would have expected him to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. But this was like a blindsided, like, what's going on? And then boom.
Yeah. And that's why I find his use of the word selfish to be so bizarre, because that's just not the way he's been for so long, which again makes me wonder what else is going into this. And yeah, he's uprooting his family, who've never lived anywhere else but Ottawa. Well, and Sweden. And
no, the kids are all Ottawa.
They're all Ottawa. You know, they're in schools here. They're in hockey programs here. They live out in, you know, the West End by the arena, where somebody made a really interesting point today. He drives through no stoplights to get to work.
Yeah.
And have you ever been to Detroit?
It's a hole.
It looks like a war zone.
It's a hole.
Yeah.
Well, the economy has just been brutal.
It's disgusting.
And the city's destroyed. It's not the safest area either.
No. And to get to the arena, which is right in downtown on the waterfront, you have to drive through areas like that every day. And I mean, I'm sure he'll be living out in one of the really nice areas, you know, out where all the other hockey players and football players and basketball players. I don't know Detroit well enough to know where they would live. I presume it's somewhere out in the Auburn Hills area. But that's a hell of a commute down to the arena every day for practice and games and so on. And Detroit is not a safe city. And it's not a pretty city. It's not a particularly friendly city either.
Which is why this stinks of something. Now, yeah, I've heard callers on the Team 1200 and say this, and it does make sense. Perhaps he wasn't even really kind of thinking of how tempting it would be to go to another team until he started getting courted this week, right? Because he didn't get an offer signed before the draft, and this week people were courting him, and maybe that kind of, my gosh, I never thought about this. I have people like Chara and, you know, Kelly and these guys tell me, like, it is amazing here in Boston. You got to trust me. I know you never experienced this, but it is great. Shirelli is great. And, you know, the city is great. And
yeah, well, he knows Shirelli too.
Yeah. So
I used to be here.
So, you know, maybe it's like, you know, just a, like a dawning on him, like, wow, you know, this is a viable option. And hey, you know, if my contract's up for work and someone else is offering me $2 million more, I mean, hey, I get that. But I don't think this was about money, because we learned, if the truth is being told, that Melnick was get him back no matter what in terms of the price. Yeah. So
I'm just looking up in my notes, and that was it.
That was probably Melnick's direction words. Of the team. It's direction of the team.
Well, Melnick's words were exactly, get him back. It doesn't matter the price, get him back.
And that's where the betrayal and the cutting feelings come in. It's like, so Alfie, you're saying in your press conference that we're heading in a good direction, but you don't like the direction of the team? I don't get it.
I'll read just a quick quote. While you've been talking, I've been looking it up, and it was a question from Ian Mendez. And his question was, you talk about Ottawa not being a contender. Did the last two games against Pittsburgh solidify that? And Alfie's answer, as this isn't verbatim, it's as quickly as I could write it down, was no. As I said earlier, I felt a week ago that I wasn't going to go anywhere. Then the negotiations went on a few days, and I started thinking that Ottawa was in a great spot and going well, with lots of good things going in the right direction. And I didn't want to change anything going on there, nor demand that Brian or Eugene make a push for me. to go for it. Too many things were going on, and they needed to stay the course there, and the torch would be passed soon anyway. This is my reasoning to look for somewhere else for a team that has lots of guys who've been there before, are going for it to try and win again. This organization really knows this sort of thing, and that's how it came about. If I retired and stayed in Ottawa and enjoyed my last year there, it would have been a great ending. But the ultimate prize, and you know, Ian, that I'm a competitive person, I don't think I would have had the same drive to play it out. I felt I needed a different challenge, and it was an extremely hard decision to make.
It sounds like the right answer.
It sounds like a rehearsed answer.
But it does sound rehearsed. I agree. But he's not throwing anybody under the bus. But if there's someone that needs to be thrown under, I think Sens fans would like to hear it right now.
Oh, so I think so too. I think so too.
What did I say? Or I said it in the last show that we've done. You need cups or you need rings in the room. Losing Gonchar, we have now none. So when he's saying, I want to go somewhere where the guys have done it before.
I think that's it. Ottawa's heading the right direction, but I don't want to be on a team where I'm, playing daddy, look up to me. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be in a bunch of growing rookies. I don't want to go to Edmonton either. I want to go to a veteran team.
And even with the part that where he was like just gives, and gives, and he hasn't been selfish, he hasn't gotten anything really back in return over the last six years. Because we had the cup final. Then we lose Redden. You sign and trade Heatley or Hossa. You dump Havlat. There just hasn't been we're the ones to go. We don't necessarily have the ownership for it. So in the same way where when Winnipeg got the team, it's we're buying the right to have an NHL franchise, not to buy the Atlanta Thrashers. I think maybe Eugene just wants to be an owner of an NHL team and not necessarily compete for the Stanley Cup or invest into the money for that.
I disagree. I think Eugene is a really competitive guy, and his reaction over the casino, I think, proves that, among other things.
Yeah, it was a great day for the open letter, right?
But I think Eugene is a businessman and realizes that this team, to be functional, as in not hemorrhage money, which might be great for fans going, oh, look at all the great players we have, but it's not sustainable. That's not a sustainable business model in any business. Look at the wireless industry in this country to prove that. You can't hemorrhage money.
Yeah, but look at all the top teams right now.
All the top
teams.
They
all hemorrhage money. Just Chicago was able to win the cup, blow it up, win it again, blow it up again.
They also make a lot more money.
True, but what was it that they said? Ottawa's the fifth lowest ticket prices.
But this market can't support them going up. I don't think. If the ticket prices went up 20%, do you think that we'd get the same number of fans every night?
20% is a huge jump, but I haven't paid more in a long, long time. It's been pretty flat.
And we still have a flat number of season ticket holders. Doesn't increase. They try and try and try, but it's not like it's increasing.
Do you think it's going to go up now with Alfredson gone?
No. But as a business decision, I don't know how they would have been able to say, okay, well, we'll jack everything up 10%, including the walk-up tickets, which is what we depend on because Ottawa's a walk-up city.
Yeah, you can go up 2-3%. I don't know. There's other ways of doing it.
But 2-3% won't take you from a $50 million spending level to a $60 million spending level.
No, 2-3% per year. It's if you slow crawl it's a lot easier for the fans to take. And if you're putting a better product on the ice.
But they have been. A younger product, maybe. An unknown product, but I mean,
if we didn't get Bobby Ryan today, holy hell.
Oh, I agree. I'm just looking at it from a purely business perspective, that, you know, the product's been improving. We had a crappy season 2 years ago, and every season since then has been an improvement. Significant one.
And that's a hurtful thing here, because everything just seemed to be turning and positive with the team, the coach being re-signed for 3 years. It's like, yeah, this positivity. And then what happened? Now it's Twitter. It's Twitter. So it's people like stirring up stuff for the sake of stirring it and being, you know, making up rumors. But over the past week, there's this stuff about, well, Melnick and his company, is he trying to sell the team? What's going on? And then now this thing with Alfredsson, and there's just this suddenly a negative atmosphere again that, you know, they got to do their damage control.
Yeah, if they hadn't got Bobby Ryan today, it would have been 50 times worse, because there would have been no good news out of today. Because no offense, Brian Murray, signing Clark MacArthur is not the big news that we're all waiting for.
Yeah, yay, ex-Leafer.
He's not a bad hockey player.
No, but...
You know? But I don't think he's
worth it. Wanted to hear right now.
When that's the news that you get right after, is okay, well, the face of the franchise and your captain's gone.
And we just overpaid for an ex-Leafer.
Yeah.
We just overpaid an ex-Leafer. Yeah, I'm sorry, no.
Well, you go back and look at the timeline on Twitter and you can see our, you know, the stages of the reaction, right? I think at one point I'm like, oh, can we get Matt Cook too, you know?
No, he's gone to Minnesota.
Thank God.
I have to give... I think it's interesting that Pittsburgh decided not to re-sign him when they stood by him all this time. They decided to not re-sign him. Unfortunately, Minnesota did.
That's because they had to give all the money to Pascal Dupri.
I still don't know how that team's going to work, but anyway.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that in our full episode.
Yeah. Do you want to go to some emails here?
I was going to say, why don't we go to some email? Because there are quite a number of them. They've got some good discussion points in some of them, so... We'll start there, and we'll probably talk about at least a couple of them. Canuck, you're up with the first one.
Yeah, we got an email from Boingy. Hey, guys, if you're going to do an emergency episode tonight, and we are, here are my thoughts. I put these in the forums today, but I've redone them so you can read them on the show. Like a lot of people, I had thought that the post-Alfredsson era in Ottawa was going to start this coming season. Starting back when there was all the buzz about his imminent retirement. Then there was this one more season announcement last week, which I guess we all just assumed was going to be a victory lap of sorts in Ottawa. Nothing doing, it seems. The post-Alfie era really is going to begin this season after all, but not the way we thought it would, with a retirement, a tearful goodbye, retiring his number, and a lot of glowing articles in the Citizen and Sun. Instead, it will begin with him in the uniform of a divisional rival. In other words, it begins with a kick in the nuts. Special Delivery said in another thread that Alfie is entitled to make as much money as he can and take a best shot at a championship as he can while he can, and I can't dispute that. But still, after all the genuine love this guy has been shown by the Ottawa fan community, this does feel like a kick right to the grapes with Matt Cook's gate. I'm one sad boingy today. Yeah, good summary.
Not bad at all. Kind of summarized the way I feel pretty well. The next one is from Kathy Cardinal. And the subject is, now you can hate them too. That's a pretty strong subject. I like it. I'm so happy you can now share my venom for Detroit. Wow. Just wow. It's probably way too soon to ask this, open wound and all. But how long do you hate him? And just to clarify, I mean hate in the sports sense, not that you wish him physical harm. So, how long? Because the jersey retirement question is going to come up in no time. Duck fans are in a similar situation with Korea. On one hand, look at all he did for the team. On the other, look at how he left. First Wings game at the CTC, does he get applause first? A thank you Alfie video on the Jumbotron and then booze? Or straight away to the booing. Like I said, probably too soon to ask all these questions. What I don't get is the Sens seem to be in an excellent position, well, before this, for next year. You got how far, with how many regulars injured, and how many kids and rookies playing in the lineup? If it was the trade deadline 2014 and you're 10 points out of the playoffs, okay, this doesn't seem quite as crazy or as cruel, but now? Not to compare everything to the Ducks, but hey, that's what I know. The Ducks were in a similar position in 2006. I believe we set a club record for first NHL points and first NHL goals because after a series of veterans, the entire team was kids. I don't have to tell you how that worked out for us a year later. Is it a Swedish thing? As Pierre Maguire said, Detroit is the largest, is the fourth largest city in Sweden. My condolences, Kathy. I don't know. We already know my stance on booing our own team. And as far as booing Alfredsson when he comes here with the Wings, I wouldn't. I'm disappointed. I'm bitter. I'm angry. But I'm not going to boo him because that would make me into a Leafer.
And I think if there's a game today, you get mixed reactions.
Yeah.
But by the time the season rolls around, it's too soon. Yeah. But even in the past couple hours, feelings have changed. And I think by the time a real game turns around, he's going to get the ovation. Thank you. Kind of like a Matt Sundin moment in Toronto. But and then after that, it's business. You know,
and he better not score.
Well,
it better not be the home opener. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, better not be in the not the home opener. I would say not even in the first 10 home games.
No, it's going to be with 8 games.
It will
be.
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, you never know.
Wouldn't it be interesting, and this is just, you know, wishful what ifs, but if Ottawa makes it into the playoffs next season and ended up facing the Red Wings in an early round, you know, hey, I mean, I'm going to be cheering for Ottawa to beat them, and what a story that would be. On the other hand, if Red Wings go far, then I think at that point, probably you're going to pick up everybody. It's like, you know what? They're in the third, fourth round now. It's time to see them win. But until then, you know, no.
We'll have to see. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, we got another email from Kathy shortly thereafter. Subject, yes. Condolences rescinded. You suck, Kathy.
Now, what could she be upset about?
For those who don't understand the email, she's a Ducks fan. Bobby Ryan. Upset. I have to admit, Kathy, thank you. Your email made me laugh when I desperately needed a laugh this afternoon.
Yeah, I kind of turned that guy around on Twitter, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was...
He was just trolling us right after. Just, F almost, you! Yeah. Well, you got Silverberg, you'll be happy.
Yeah, well, we kind of got the same thing with the Connacher Bishop trade last year with some Tampa Bay people. So, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I don't know a lot about Bobby Ryan. I know he's been playing sort of second fiddle to Getzlaff and Perry. He's a right winger. He scores. He's a pretty big physical type as well. But that's really all I know about him. Awesome. I don't know that much more.
I can't remember if you texted this to me, but it's, was it 2000, since 2008, he's number four, or I might have seen it on Twitter, number four in the league in goals.
Yeah, the number of people he has more goals than is astonishing. Goals, not points, but goals. Yeah.
Goals.
Yeah, do you know who's,
amazing. Yeah, and I think it's like, what, Crosby, Ovechkin.
Malkin.
Malkin and Stamkos.
Hossa. Yeah. No, not Stamkos, Hossa.
Well, Erickson. Who are the four?
Oh, there's a bunch of them that he has more goals than. I don't know who the ones above him.
Well, So he's one of the top in goals. Do you remember who's the top in points or number four in points?
Spezza.
Since 2008? I know he's number four in points two seasons
ago. No, it's 2000. Since 2007, I think it is, he's got more points than everyone except for, I think, Crosby, Ovi, and one other guy.
Wow. So put the two of them together. It should be good.
Yeah.
Malkin.
They're going to light them up.
Especially when you have 9mm just hanging around on the other side.
Anyway. Yeah. I know you hate that song.
It's already overplayed.
Do you remember on Sunday, right before the draft was starting and we were talking about Bobby Ryan? Didn't I send you guys a text and I said, how about Silverberg and a first for Ryan?
Apparently not enough.
That was in the list of 110 messages I got when I came out from fishing.
So apparently it took one extra piece.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I can't believe I can live tweet a city council meeting in Phoenix.
I don't know why you were.
I don't know. Anyway.
So we have to do this one last time here. There you go, Ducks. It's all yours now.
I'll miss that, but I mean, I think it's a decent trade. I'd like to get another trade set up so that we get a first round draft pick back, because those are very, very valuable and we've done well with them. But
well, let's see how this year goes.
Well, maybe we can get somebody. We can change Jim O'Brien and
Jim O'Brien. You're not going to get a first for Jim O'Brien.
No, package him up
get,
with something.
You're going to get the $100 for the waivers.
No. Okay.
We need him as a fifth right now anyway, so.
There's something else sad, just to go back to Alfie for a second, is that, don't forget we have the Church of Alfie here.
Closed.
So there's talk, like, what now? Do we have the
let's convert to Scientology.
Church of Ryanology.
Yeah. Canuck, you have the next email from Blair.
Moving right along.
Moving right along. Yes, exactly.
From Blair Brown. Dear Sens Collops, as I started to type this email, I received the news of the Bobby Ryan trade. This is great news, but only slightly diminishes my sadness for losing Alfie. I'm still angry. I'm not aware of all the details, but I would like to have to believe it will tarnish his legacy a bit. I might be just mean-spirited, but I hope the Red Wings fall out of a playoff spot. Maybe Ottawa can pick him up at the trade deadline. With all that said, it is time for the rest of the leadership core to step up. Will we see if Jason, Neil, or Phillips can fill the void? If they can do that, Ottawa's a better team today than yesterday. Better, but a little sad. Blair.
That would be delicious if the Red Wings fell out of a playoff spot and we picked Alfie up at the trade deadline. Yeah. Well, quite frankly, I think their goaltending sucks and their blue line isn't all that great either. I think they probably have better firepower overall.
Yeah.
But
I think much better defensive, offensive guys. Like they can all come back.
Watching they play a great system, which is similar to Ottawa's, considering where Paul McLean came from. Big surprise. They play a great system, but I don't know. I don't see a lot of talent there. And when the system gets broken up, there's not a lot of, I hate using this word, there's not a lot of pesky. There's not a lot of refuse to quit. Like watching their series against Chicago, they were up, but as soon as they got sort of pushed back against the ropes, there was nothing there. So we'll see. Who knows?
But I do like the thought. So.
Yeah.
Well, this all worked out for Mike Modano, right?
Hmm?
What? Oh?
Career with Dallas, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Go signs a 1 year with Detroit.
True.
Got hurt. Never played again.
I don't wish any ill will like that on Alfie. I don't. I honestly don't.
There was maybe a short period of time today that thought crossed my mind, but
I kind of wish a lack of success. I want this move to fail. As much as I'd like to see Alfie's name on the Stanley Cup, I don't want to
get it on our backs at least.
Yeah, I don't want to see it this way.
Actually, going back to Blair's email there, he was talking about leadership. I think the guy that's really going to step it up is Mark Methot.
Very good point.
He's awesome.
He's awesome on and off the ice. He has so embraced becoming an Ottawa Senator and becoming a... I mean, there are a lot of players who've stepped up to do community involvement stuff, whether it's Methot or Kyle Turris, since he arrived, has launched into just, you know, throwing himself into as much as he could do. Chris Neal has been doing it for ages, of course. Chris Phillips, same thing. But, yeah.
Yeah, but I just the pure leadership, I can see him just for the team themselves, not only on the community side.
Yep. Yeah. Especially on the ice and in the dressing room. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And do you feel like this team has lost a connection with Sweden suddenly?
Well, no. we're down two.
Yeah.
We still have the Apostle. And we still have Zibad. Yeah. And we drafted some more. And we have more down in Binghamton.
It was nothing to the level that we had before.
Hey, conspiracy theories. Maybe IKEA was doing a real pitch for the center. And then when Canadian Tire won the bid, that was it. I'm out of here. Oof.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, the IKEA arena. That would have been cool.
Swedish listeners, email the show.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what Jesper thinks of all of this. Let us know, Jesper. We'll be recording another summer episode in the not-too-distant future, so let us know.
There was a point today where we all kind of said, I don't want to do another episode.
No, I texted you. We're shutting it down now. It's over.
Shut it down. Trade everything.
That's good. Right. Just get picks.
Yeah, exactly. Got an email from Sensgab. Subject line is, I've waited 9 years for this. Hey guys, guess what? After 9 years of living in Leafs country, I'm finally coming back to Ottawa in September. It'll be great. I'll finally get to watch the Sens in Ottawa and, of course, see my favorite players, Spezza, Carlson, Alfie, Silverberg. Oh, wait, no! I won't. Wow. Well, I'm excited for next year. You guys are going to have to convince me about Bobby Ryan and Clark MacArthur. It's going to take a lot of convincing me to like a former Leafs player.
I'm not even going to try because I won't either.
Because right now I think the Sens lost more today than they gained. I am, however, happy about one free agent signing today, and that's Jesse Winchester to the Florida Panthers. I was sad to see him go last year, and I'm glad that he's back in the league. That's all from me, a disappointed Sensgab. And just briefly, I agree. I'm really happy to see Jesse Winchester back in the league. He actually got hurt when he was playing over in Europe. But I'm really glad that he's been picked up by Florida. Just as I'm also really happy to see Andre Benoit picked up by Colorado.
I can't believe we couldn't keep him. But they offered him a two-way.
Did they? I don't know.
Yeah, they're offering him two-way.
So what the hell?
Well, good on him. I mean, just like Derek Grant from a couple of years ago, who I think he's still playing in Calgary. Really happy to see a guy who deserves to be in the NHL get the recognition from last year's performance and get a contract from Colorado. I'm really happy to see that. Peter Regan going to New York.
Yay!
Well, okay. That one...
Was it the Islanders, right?
Well, yes, the Islanders.
He can go sit on the Islanders bench in Brooklyn now. That's fine.
Well, they won't be there till 2015, but...
Okay, well, whatever.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just get off my team.
Exactly. Pan, you've got the next one. It's another one from Sensgab.
Yep. It says, P.S. Woo! Gonchar's gone! I like the emails you left me here.
Yeah, I believe you two hold that sentiment rather close to your hearts, that you're happy.
I wasn't too bad with him last year, but not for $5 million.
Now, there you go.
Yeah, well, you could probably use his leadership right about now, though. But.
And his ring. There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Canuck, you're up. Next one.
From Homer?
Yep.
Subject, what? Hey, let Peter Regan go and sign as a free agent with the Islanders? What were they thinking? Oh, yeah, and they also lost some other guy to go and sign with Detroit. Who am I kidding? I never would have thought that Alfie would sign with another team. I'm guessing that Brian Murray probably thought the same thing and might have dropped the ball. But then, the trade for Bobby Ryan, holy freaking crap. We only got to see Silverberg for the shortened season and don't know what Nason will bring to the table, plus a first rounder. Tough one to evaluate right now. It all depends on Ryan's chemistry with Spezza and whether or not he signs back with Ottawa in a couple years when his contract's up. I was almost saying Scott MacArthur earlier today. Clark MacArthur at $3.25 million? That seems kind of steep. Gonna be interesting if we end up playing Detroit in the playoffs. I sure hope that Z-Bag, Conacher, Pajot can step it up next year. Maybe Mark Stone, Shane Prince, and Matt Pumple can be a surprise too. We're in a tough division next year, and the games against those teams will all be four-point games. Homer. Well, thanks for the email, Homer. Hard to disagree with any of your thoughts there. Pretty much what we went through.
Yep, exactly. We do have a lot of assets who may surprise us, just like we've had a couple in the past year or two surprise us. So there are a lot of players down in Binghamton who can come up and contribute. My one fear is there has been talk, especially today and even since the draft, that there's a push to have Cody Ceci make the team. And I don't want that. I really like to see him down in Binghamton for a year with Luke Richardson. I think it'd be really good for his development and not turn him into you were a first round draft pick and you're now on the team, so contribute at age 20. Just me though.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. We don't really need him now.
You need to
get obviously we're going to get Weirkosh back at some point.
Mm-hmm.
We have exactly six. So is Borowiecki the seventh?
Borowiecki could be. It could be Clayson as well, or who knows? That's actually one of the things that Brian Murray was talking about. He may be looking for a 5-6-7 position defenseman, a spare.
Like Benoit.
Like Benoit, exactly.
Or Weirkosh.
Weirkosh
a little higher.
Weirkosh should be the six. He'll be a 5-6.
Yeah.
Is Andrew Ferentz signed anywhere?
Yes. I heard that F-bomb. Mark the point there, Canuck. You're going to have to beep that one.
Yeah.
Pan, you're up for the next one from Nathan.
Uh-oh. This one's a little bit longer here. All right. So from Nathan, subject Alfredson. For once, God is only a mere man. I have only been a fan for a few years, and I'm truly dedicated. Jeez. I am truly dedicated fan.
That's not your fault.
Oh, that's him. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right, man. I'm a truly dedicated fan with a few friends who share my passion. I am 15 in Leafertown. I became a Sens fan because of Alfredson, and I just don't understand his move. I will never boo or begrudge Alfie, but to leave Ottawa in what is most probably his last year is the most upsetting thing that could happen to this city. Ottawa is not only far behind Detroit in terms of being a contender. Ottawa is not that far behind Detroit in terms of being a contender, especially if Alfie was still here with the newly acquired Ryan. Totally agree. Alas, if you love someone, set them free. Best of luck to Alfie in his year with Detroit. Alfie's leadership and good godliness can't be replaced, but I hope Bobby Ryan can help fill the major hole. That's what she said.
Oh, jeez.
At least the Leafs still suck, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Hold hard. So.
I agree with most of that, but I'm still not sure I can say the best of luck to Alfie in Detroit. I honestly, I'm not sure I can say that.
Alfie, you're a good plan B.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Next one.
By the way, I do agree with you, Nathan, that I don't think Ottawa's that far behind from Detroit in terms of being a contender. And I don't know. You can debate that. It's not a black and white thing there at all.
Finished with almost exactly the same number of points, didn't we? They sneaked into the playoffs in eighth.
They're trending down. We're trending up, I think.
Yep.
So,
yep. We'll see.
Yeah, I think this is the last kick of the can. They picked up Steven Weiss today, too.
Yep. We'll see how it all goes. Don't know yet. Hey, I got the next one from TJ. I haven't read this. There might be a lot of hate in it. Uh-oh. Subject, Alfie leaving and signing a dink from Toronto. This should be good. "Hey guys, without a doubt, my worst day being a Senator fan by miles and miles." So they don't use the money they have to re-sign the longtime face of the franchise, yet they go out and give a third-line border fourth-line guy from the Leafs with Leaf stink all over him $3.25 million a year for two freaking years. Murray and Melnick must be nuts. I read that he was a healthy scratch for most of the playoffs for the laughs. I mean, he didn't even play when they needed him the most. They still need scoring, not the same crap they got out of most of the roster that they have already. In case they missed it, they just lost their best forward from last year's team, and now they need two top six players, not just one, and they wasted $3.25 million on a stupid Leafer. They threw that $3.25 away that they could have just used to get real players. This is beyond depressing. Unless they do something else, they have to make trades now. I'm actually more pissed about MacArthur signing than the Alfredson abomination. They make one huge mistake with Alfie, only to utterly compound it by signing an effing Leaf. Thanks for letting me vent. TJ. TJ, I'm with you on that one. I didn't understand that signing at all. He's not a bad player. I would never say Clark MacArthur is a bad player, but he's overpaid at 3.25. If it had been at 2, because I don't see him as a second-line player, I see him more of a third-line player. But he may end up being a second because, well, who else are we going to put up there? Silverberg? Gone. So we'll see.
Did he not get along with Randy Carlyle? No, that was Grabo that...
Oh, man.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, it was Grabo that had that the big tirade.
That was brilliant. He hasn't been signed yet either. Did you notice that?
Well, after that, I don't think he will be for a while.
I think he's a good second-line center. I don't think he's worth $5 million a year. But I'm surprised the teams that are looking for a second-line center wouldn't have a look at him.
No, he's probably going to end up in the KHL. Just the attitude that he has.
Well, I think his tirade was actually...
Yeah, but don't forget his stint in Montreal, too.
No, true. But I think his tirade against Randy Carlyle was bang on. You expect me to keep putting points up on the board when you're putting me into a third-line checking role?
Yeah.
Give me a break. Not possible. Nobody can do that. Anyway.
No, that's true. But even at that, like, if you're Carlisle and you just hear all of this, right? Like, you know what my response would be if I were him? Hey, Grabo. No, hey, Grabo, bite me.
Yeah, true enough.
Canuck, you missed it.
Well, that was it. Do it again.
You're going to edit this or you're just going to make me look like an ass?
No, I'm just going to make you look like an ass.
Hey, Grabo!
You have to
bite
ask
me!
You really had to ask that question? We've done 28 full episodes plus a bunch of extra ones, and you still had to ask that question. Really?
To make me look like an ass?
Yeah. Of course he's going to.
We've got a pretty good library at that, right? I can't wait to share that with my future kids.
They won't know how to access this kind of media. It'd be like giving your kids a 8-track or something.
A 45.
Yeah. 5.25 floppy disk. What the hell?
I have a 5.25-inch floppy drive.
That's what she said.
Come on.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay, Canucks. Last one.
That's what she said.
It's from TJ again.
Oh, we're getting punchy now.
The subject. And now with Bobby Ryan. Now, before I could shut down all my devices, I see that they just traded for Bobby Ryan for Silverberg, Nason, and a future first-round pick. I'm a little less pissed now. But if it's true that Alfie wanted was 3.5 plus bonuses, and they spent that money on a dirty ex-leafer instead of this, still doesn't make up for letting Alfie go. So they give up two first-rounders and a second for Ryan. Not sure if that's too much or not, but they did give up a lot. Bottom line is Bobby Ryan and MacArthur for Alfie, Silf for Berg, Nason, and a first round pick. Thanks, guys, again for letting me vent. TJ.
Where was Silverberg drafted? I can't remember.
Was he not signed?
He was a second line. He was a second round pick, wasn't he? Because Nason was a late first.
He just signed from Sweden, from the SEL. Or something. I didn't think it was a pick.
I'll look him up. If you can.
Yeah, if you could look him up. Because I know that Nason was one of the picks that we... That was one of the late first round picks that we picked up.
Yeah, he was a trade up with the two...
2 seconds for a first. With Detroit, I think it was.
Yeah.
In the round where we also got Pumple and Zibad.
Really?
Yeah, that's where Nason comes from.
Oh, no, but what about Silverberg?
Silverberg, second round, 2009.
There you go.
Hmm. Is that the Carlson year or the Cowan year? It's Cowan
year. It's the Cowan year.
Welcome to your Carlson years.
Well, yeah, yeah, welcome to your Carlson years. Jeez.
Well, you see, funny you should say that. I was, the first thing, well, not the first thing that came to mind, I shouldn't say that. After the whole Alfie thing started to settle down, I realized I have two Senator sweaters that I'll never wear again. Because they say Alfredson on the back. And I went, okay, well, I guess I'll have to buy another one now, which means I actually have to lift my embargo on buying Senator stuff, unless I want to go back to an old sweater, which I could do. But if I want to buy a new one, who would I get? And I thought, well, I could get Eric Carlson, but lots of people have Carlson jerseys. And I saw some Silverberg jerseys during the playoffs. I'm like, that'd be a cool one.
Yeah, Brianne just got one too.
Yeah, I might get one of those. And then not even an hour later, the trade for Bobby Ryan's announced and Silverberg's gone. I went, okay, well, at least I didn't get one of those. Sorry, Brianne. So now I have to think about it all over again.
Jason Spezza!
No, I don't think so.
Cardinal, get it put across the back.
Oh, God.
If I ever get a hockey sweater with my own name on it, that is grounds for a beating, a really bad one.
Especially if you actually put Cardinal on it.
Exactly. Why wouldn't I?
Well, I don't think that's your Christian name, is it?
How much more Christian can one be than a cardinal?
Oh, it helps to laugh after crying.
It is something that people call me in real life. Oh. So, sure, why not? Anyway. Yeah. Guys, I have to say, I actually feel better than when we started this. I really do.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to talk these things out, right?
It's been a little cathartic because I've been sitting, you know, listening to the radio and TV all day and actually talking about this and, you know, getting a few other people's takes, both the two of you and the emailers as well. It does help.
It does.
I'm still probably going to go to sleep angry, but not as angry as I was.
Yeah. Oh, it's Friday. Oh, okay. Thank God. Needed that at least.
You realize I got this far into the episode and I didn't even use this trade sound effect?
And I didn't miss it.
That one really comes and blows out my ears too.
It does.
Sounds
it's
really
intense.
But yeah, it was a long day. There's nothing like having a client meeting. Then half hour later, just look at my phone, and I've got 15 text messages, 4 Twitter updates, 3 emails. It was a busy day.
And a partridge in a pear tree. So most of those texts were probably from me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway, that's all right.
Hey, we're almost up to 950 followers.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. You guys did really well during the draft. Quite a number of people started following. I didn't go back and read them all, I'll admit. There seemed to be quite a number were picked up during that, so well done.
We got a whole bunch of emails from Russell that you forwarded off.
What?
Yeah, oh, no. TJ? No. What am I looking at here? I'm screwed up.
Well, Russell from Sens Underground, he sends out a tweet. Yeah, I just got back from the cottage. No contact all day. So, pretty quiet around town today?
Honestly, downtown? I can't even talk. It was devastating. Now, Colonel, did you go out at all?
Not much.
No.
I was too busy listening to the radio and watching what was on television, so I really wasn't out. I also I didn't go out much because I got stuck in traffic yesterday, and my car isn't air conditioned, so my windows were down, and I got a sunburn. So I didn't want to go outside today.
Oh boy. Now, it was unbelievable. I had to break it to a couple of people too.
Charming. Yeah.
It hurt. It really hurt.
Well, it hurt me.
I was having lunch on a patio when the news was breaking. And I broke it to my coworker and it's like, what?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, because we saw that fake Bob McKenzie one. It's just like, no.
It was to the Bruins, right? And then...
Was that one to the Bruins?
Yeah. And then, okay, whatever, that's fake. And then you sent one because I was in Atlantic time zone, so it was like 2 minutes to one. So 2 minutes to noon Eastern, and it was, to Detroit or something like that. Or maybe it wasn't 2 minutes, but it was at least within half an hour. And I'm like, yeah, no way. That's not happening.
Well, I think we were all in that sort of state of denial that we just couldn't believe this was about to happen because, as we talked about half an hour ago, it's so out of character.
Yeah, no one saw this come. Even, was it Chris Neal and Mark Mathot were interviewed?
Oh, yeah, they were just floored.
They just said shocked.
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
Well, Carlson, when he announced coming back, he even tweeted,
it's a beautiful day.
La, la, la. Yeah.
What's he going to be going through now? For sure.
I went to go to Detroit, too.
No.
No. Eric, you stay here, have another horse, and...
What?
They like horses.
Oh. I wonder if he's sold his Aston Martin yet.
What a kid.
He tweeted out a picture of his Aston Martin going, oh, well, my baby won't be here when I come home. Like,
yeah, no. No shit, it won't be. It's gone to Detroit, Car City.
yeah, not yeah. for British roadsters. But anyway.
Oh, we didn't even touch on this. I guess we'll get it on the main show.
Mm-hmm.
This great show of the Mark Messier leadership, by the way.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, that was harsh. Selfish. Well, I was looking back over my notes from our last podcast, and one of the things I said in the closing was the hashtag for the summer was hashtag Alfie one more year.
Yep.
We got it.
It's happening.
Hashtag technicality.
Oops.
Hashtag Cardinal needs to be more specific. Anyway.
So here's something we didn't really dive into as much, but what do you think this means in terms of him coming back and being part of the organization now? Just to me, my initial reaction is, oh, maybe that's not happening. You're moving your family out and doing this, I guess. Maybe you're not.
Would you leave your family for a full year?
I don't think.
Well, I thought maybe that's why he did Detroit or Boston, was because they're in the actual division, which means they're going to be here quite a bit, so he'll be in town quite a bit. And even if you're, it's an off day, you're just such a quick flight away.
Hey, his kids are too young. He doesn't want to be away from them.
Canuck, do you know when you leave town for a week? Remember when you went to Australia for 3 weeks?
Yeah. Well, it's almost, is it almost three?
Yeah. And how happy were your kids?
Your kids, how happy was your wife?
That too.
Yeah, that too. Her too.
Yay!
So
we'll see.
A year with infants, and you've got the cash to do it. You can buy a house in Detroit for about $14,000 anyway. So
yeah,
well, you can buy a crack house for that. Yeah, but
it's a dump.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't see him staying in Detroit long term because nobody does. I mean, look at the long-term Detroit Red Wings who said, especially the Swede who retired and goes, I really enjoyed my time here in Detroit. It's been wonderful. I'm moving back to Sweden. Thank you and good night.
So do you think he'll come back and be part of the organization somehow?
Probably.
I think he'll probably move back to Ottawa.
We've seen that happen.
I don't think he'll be part of the organization for a couple of years.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe foundations. I don't know.
Maybe.
What about his number being retired?
That'll still happen. It may take an extra year.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it may take an extra year, maybe even an extra couple of years. And the example I would use for that would be somebody, and this isn't a hockey metaphor, but is Brett Favre from Green Bay, who went on to play for other teams and is only now, after several years of retirement, getting back into the good graces with the fans in Green Bay. It took a couple of years.
But he kept wanting to come back and it just screwed up the team and to the point where Green Bay said, no, thank you.
True, but it was a back and forth thing. And this is not similar. It's not the same, but it is similar. You're coming back to the league and leaving us. Okay. We'll see. I think that this may take a couple of years to heal. Really. It will with me. To be completely honest, it will with me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's interesting is to see that now he'll probably get he's getting the recognition of how good a player he is, too. From other sources. Can you imagine if he went to Toronto? Fans there wouldn't know what to do.
Would they boo him or what? They wouldn't know. It'll be interesting to see how they treat him now. When he pulls into Toronto, doesn't play for Ottawa anymore.
They'll still boo him.
So, they're Toronto fans. What am I thinking?
And he gets to play against them during the Winter Classic.
All the more reason to cheer against Toronto. Yay.
The Sens have a winter game, though, right? In March. In Vancouver.
March 2nd in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's an outdoor game in a dome stadium. Thank you. That's brilliant. A roofed stadium, but it's an outdoor game because they can open the roof. Vancouver? March? Yeah, that roof will be closed.
Yeah.
It'll just be a really, really big hockey arena. Anywho.
All right, let's shoot this in the head.
Yeah, let's wrap this up.
We're back in a couple days anyway.
Yeah, we'll be back. We're going to be back in the week to come. So, that's what we're planning on. And if I hope so, because then I'm going fishing. So we better be. Otherwise,
either that or Tuesday morning, we're just going to get an email from Canuck saying that he's moved on.
Oh, that's great. No, it'll be a text message. It won't even be an email.
Oh, jeez. Flames call ups.
Yeah, we got no.
Hey, we should mention that we were on the NHL on the Ice podcast tonight.
Okay, go ahead and mention it.
Well, some of us were for longer than others.
Yeah.
A few little technical problems there, but thank you to NHL on the Ice for having us on again.
I can grab that and include it in our feed somehow.
Cool. That'd be awesome.
Maybe at the end or something.
Yeah. And for those who don't know.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
For those who don't know, keep listening after the music stops, because there's usually a little bit of something extra at the end of our podcast. Well, our engineer has a peculiar sense of humor, and there's almost always something interesting at the end of the podcast after the outro music is there. I meant to say that during our last episode and I forgot. So if you've never listened to the music, what goes on after the outro music, go back. You might find some interesting little nuggets of stuff.
Pretty much every episode, too.
Yeah, exactly. I want to give you props for that because I enjoy them. Anyway, we got lots of email for today because this obviously has been a rather eventful day for Sens fans and people needed to vent. And thank you for sending them. There are other people out there who want to send their thoughts about what's gone on today with Alfie or with Bobby Ryan or with the team or whatever. We'll be recording early in the week. So please send them in the next couple of days over the weekend or on Monday. Send your emails to podcast@senscallups.com. You can also visit the forums at sensunderground.com. There were some pretty active threads there with respect to the, well, free agent frenzy today, and with respect to Alfie and the trade deadline and the draft and all sorts of stuff. So those are still active. You can also interact with us on Twitter. That was certainly, Twitter was insane today, but it was still still entertaining in its own way. And we'll be back with a full summer show shortly. I'm out.
Suck it, Finals.
You're not the only one that's out.
Good night, Les.
Talk to you soon, guys.
Guys, I got to change this up here for a little bit. We have now joining us from the podcast Sense Call Up. We have all three gentlemen joining us. We have, let me make sure I got everyone's name, David Ho, Pan, and Canuck, Cardinal, and Pan. Good evening, gentlemen.
It's an evening.
It's an evening.
Gentlemen,
it was not a beautiful day.
I'm sure.
My man, you have not recovered yet, have you?
No.
I'm sure you guys have mixed feelings going on after today's whirlwind of free agency in a blockbuster trade. Guys, whoever wants to go first, what your thoughts?
Cardinal, you're up. Well, I guess I'll just jump on in here. Don't know where Colonel went.
He's talking on mute, probably.
Yeah, probably. He has to do that a lot. Yeah, so it's still a hard day with the Bobby Ryan trade, which came in after I was on your, the lunchtime show. We finally got that top six forward that we needed to finish up the team. But unfortunately, we also lost the top six forward. So I guess we're always in that search for perpetual search for the top six forward. I like to say top six forward.
With as much depth at forward of young guys, it's got to be a good move. I mean, I'm sad to see Stefan Neeson getting traded from the Sens, because I've been watching Neeson. I watched him all last year playing with the Whalers. I was tough to see him being part of that package for Bobby Ryan. You also got give up Jacob Silfverberg as well. You get a scoring forward in Bobby Ryan, who now a younger guy who comes in, a guy who's at the peak of his career. I mean, you guys got to love getting a guy who's at the peak of his career now.
Well, in terms of the Bobby Ryan trade, certainly on paper, the Senators have the best player right now. But they certainly, it was a steep price to pay, but I think in general, Sens fans are very excited to have him on the team. And from what I'm seeing on Twitter, the Ducks fans are very sad to see him go. Definitely it's mixed reactions. You asked right off the top of what's the city feeling, and definitely excited about Bobby Ryan. Sad to see some of those people go. This Alfredson not re-signing here is definitely the talk of the day, and a tough pill to swallow, really, in such a quick turn of events.
Do you guys think that the addition of Ryan can somewhat make the loss of Alfredson a little bit easier to take in?
The dog died. Here, let's go out and eat. Let's buy a new dog.
I think that the addition of Bobby Ryan will ease the on-ice loss of Daniel Alfredson. As far as having a player who can score, who can make plays, yes. As far as everything else that Daniel Alfredson has come to mean to the city, no. He's more than just a hockey player. He's more than just the captain of the team. He's more than, I think, even what some teams call their face of the franchise. He has personified the Ottawa Senators for 17 seasons. He's like a Steve Yzerman. Like and I think that's something that a lot of people outside Ottawa don't realize, how incredibly iconic Daniel Alfredson has been to the Ottawa Senators and to the city. So you can replace his on-ice capabilities, his points production. I don't know whether you can replace his leadership within the room, and I really doubt you can replace his commitment to the community. There are other players stepping up to try and do that over the last couple of years, but it's not going to be an in-and-out sort of thing, no.
Okay. How is he received when he comes back?
I really think it's going to be mixed. I think there's a lot of diehards that if we would have gotten more notification that he actually was testing free agency, I think people could have settled into it a little bit better. Didn't even think of it as an option.
Let's say if he came out on the ice today, you'd get quite a mix. You may even get some more negative reaction. But I think by the time the season rolls around, they'll give him the standing O. It'll be emotional, but certainly today it's a little fresh, a little raw.
Guys, question here. Does this make a instant rivalry with the Red Wings?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting if we meet in the playoffs. This
and now being in the same conference too, that's going to be significant.
That's why I was bringing it up. Now you have a team. You know, it's not like Alfredson went to a different conference or even a different division. He's still in the same division on a team that's just now coming into this conference. It makes for interesting storylines when the teams meet. What, 6 times a year now?
8.
8? Yeah. 8 times a year?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes for an interesting storyline. Me from being Detroit, I have mixed feelings on the move. Am I happy he's here? Of course I'm happy he's here. But am I sad that he left Ottawa? Yeah, because, you know, I got a lot of followers on, you know, that are Sens fans, and I know what Alfredson has meant to Ottawa, and not just the team, but the community as well. I mean, he was very active in the community, charities and stuff like that. So, I mean, I have mixed feelings on the signing being a Red Wings fan.
So should I ignore the woohoo voicemail you sent me today? No, I'm kidding.
just rub that in now.
Oh, wow. By the way, that did not happen. That did not happen.
It should have happened. I would have been doing it if I was on the end of this trade.
I was
actually willing to bet it did.
I was in disbelief. I was honestly in disbelief. I'm like, no way. No, this is not happening. And
you know who broke it on Twitter? It was a fake Bob McKenzie account.
Really?
Yeah. Ah. It was unbelievable. So.
And actually people believe it.
Yep. Yeah, everyone just kind of jumped on it and then said, oh, whoops, bad source, and it was actually accurate. It was just horrifying.
Wow.
Yeah. The one thing that really kind of hurts me, though, is that you're always looking for that face of the franchise and just the one guy that sticks around. And I think the only ones that you can really think of now are like Yzerman and Sakic that only played with the one organization. I don't think we've got those anymore.
Yeah, Ottawa lost, like in the modern era of the Ottawa Senators, they lost something special here. This player that could retire, be drafted and retire with the same team, the number be raised to the banners. Not to say they may or may not retire his number now, but certainly something was lost. There's a kind of a loss of innocence, if you will, with this event today.
No, I understand. I totally understand, you know, where you're coming from about that.
I think a good comparison to this would be the day that Ray Bourque was actually traded from the Bruins. A lot of people were in disbelief that it actually happened. A guy that had been with the organization for so long and so involved in the community is now gone. Somebody who really meant a lot to the city that he played for and was really, really loved by the fans. And, you know, now that guy is gone, it's just, you know, a lot of shock and a lot of disbelief.
I think it's a little different, though.
But I think the difference was Bourque was traded, though.
So what were we talking about before we were really disrupted here?
Well, I got on the comparable case between Daniel Alfredson and Ray Bourque.
Right. And I think the sentiment in Ottawa is that we don't see it that way.
Into their community and whatnot.
Yeah. So, certainly in terms of being a longtime player, but the Bourque issue was a trade, right? And I think
it was.
I think what stings here in Ottawa is just the way it happened so quickly, because Alfredson was expected to sign up right until today, really. And then all of a sudden there's this change of mind, which apparently happened yesterday. And, you know, he wants to sign for a cup, and that's his right. He's a free agent. He's allowed to do that. And I think people can respect that. But when you say you want to go to a contender and you didn't want to the day before, it something's missing here. And it leaves kind of a sour taste, kind of like there's an untold story. Maybe the owner didn't want to spend or something like that. And you just don't know.
I was getting ready to ask you, where is the other shoe in this? And look, by no stretch of the imagination would I ever compare, but I'm going to do it. what happened today? Because I hear you guys talk, and you know, look, I live down in Florida, and I've never lived in the Canadian city, so I've never been able. I love hockey. I've never been able to experience it as you guys do on a daily basis. Okay, so I'm gonna ask this question. If it sounds foolish, I apologize. But you know, I hear you guys talk, and it takes me back to the day when 99 went from Edmonton to LA, and I heard the Edmonton fans talking sort of almost in a eulogy, if you will. And that's the tone that I gather from you guys. But yet days after the Gretzky trade took place, the other shoe dropped and the Pocklington issues came up and you knew what was, you started to really hear the other side of the equation there. Everybody wanted to, damn Gretzky at that point because of Janet Jones, and he had to get his wife to Hollywood and this, that, and the other. But once the story was actually told, you really got a sense that this was this wasn't just a great one looking to get his wife to Southern California. Where is the other shoe here?
And I think that's the story that all Ottawa fans are waiting to hear. They did have some press conferences today, and you know, we got kind of the staple answers that, okay, our GM was shocked. He was planning to make it happen. There was no restrictions from the owner in terms of money. It doesn't seem to be a money issue. I think the prevailing wind right now is that there wasn't malice here, but probably a sense that Alfredson wanted to play for a team that was willing to spend to the cap if needed, to make that kind of final push. And Ottawa still working on a budget, not going to do that. And maybe he wanted to take, you know, a better shot. Hey, the idea of Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and Alfredson on a line, I'm drooling thinking about that.
I think every hockey fan is.
especially fantasy hockey.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, guys, you know, a lot of talent within this system, and I'm sure there's no problem with replacing that. I mean, you guys have a ton of guys coming up through the system. Matt Pummel, Mark Stone, Shane Prince. You guys just added Curtis Lazar, who I absolutely love the pick. Guys, what's your thoughts on your firm system and coming up here through these years? I mean, are you guys close to being that cup contender?
That's a good question. I think we're doing some extra reevaluation today, but I think everyone's been happy with the drafting that the organization has done. There's actually been a lot of comparisons over the last few years to the Detroit model and how successful they've been with their own draft. In terms of happiness with the picks and the way things are being developed, pretty much as GM Brian Murray took over, people are pretty happy and pretty happy that the cupboard has been stocked. But in terms of contender, I don't know. Certainly we're trending up. Would I say that Ottawa Senators are a leading contending team right for next season? Don't seem to be when you watch Chicago and Boston play, and even how we paired up against Pittsburgh the past season. It doesn't seem like we're there yet, but we certainly seem to be trending in the right way. And, you know, year to year, who knows how these players are going to develop and get better, so.
Yeah, I love the depth in your organization and the guys you have in it. And the future looks bright for you guys. You know, you guys will move on past Elfie. And I love the future of the Ottawa Senators and years to come. I think you guys will be contenders quicker than you guys realize.
I hope so.
So, gentlemen, before we let you go, where can everyone listen to you at? You guys do your own podcast, correct?
We do, and I apologize. It's just me talking. The other two guys had to drop for the internet issues. But you can listen to us on iTunes. We're called the Sens Call-Ups. And just look for Sens Underground, or sensunderground.com is the website.
I'll have to do that now.
Well, Canuck, I appreciate you taking time out of your guys' schedule and joining us tonight, talking some Sens. Bobby Ryan and Alfredson, so look forward to playing you guys this year in the division. And, you know, don't hate me.
We'll try not to. Give it a couple of games, and then it'll be on. Thanks for having us on, guys.
Thanks, Canuck. We appreciate it.
Bye.
Take it easy.
I'm starting to wonder whether podcasting are the poor redheaded stepchildren of the media world compared to bloggers. Bloggers seem to get so much credibility because they have a blog. Big friggin' deal. You write something once in a while. Who gives a crap?
This is going into the end.